So here we go again. So, you know, again, let me, so following what Eva asked, again, maybe I'll put in the corner here what what we're trying to do, okay? So, there is a beta, you know, of some skeleton, and there is some horrible map swap or head multiply. It doesn't matter which one, okay? And we want to understand it. It goes to, I mean, if it's swap, it goes to same skeleton, but if it's a head multiply, it's a different skeleton, that doesn't matter, okay? Now, here, there is the space of symbols, so it's the space of matrices omega alpha ij, and there is a map ISS which goes to here, okay? And things here have, okay, the map ISS is relatively simple-minded. You simply interpret alpha ij to be as the coefficient of the arrow from, you know, strand I to strand j, or rather from strand ti to strand hj. Okay? And what I want is to know which beta ij will make this diagram commutative. Okay? So I want to know what the swap map here is. Okay? So which beta ij will make this diagram commutative? Now, a priori, I have no reason whatsoever to think of precomposing it with some map K. Okay, whose inverse is J. Okay, well, J is also here. A priori, why on earth would I do that? It's just a complicated map, okay? So the answer is, well, I figured out what this is, and it turned out that the coefficients that appear in the swap map here, so the coefficients that appear in alpha ij going to beta ij, tend to somehow repeat, and you can cancel lots of them by composing with K and J, by pre-composing with K. Okay? So a priori, the thing that appears here with omega alpha ij prime going to omega beta ij prime, and this is again the swap map, but it's a different swap map each time. This is the swap, maybe I'll call it swap prime. Okay? So, you know, this is the map I'm interested in, and it turns out that there is a better way of writing it if you use different coordinates, okay? And I mean, if you change coordinate from alpha ij to alpha j ij prime by multiplying the columns by some otherwise messy expression, okay? So that's why K and J were introduced, okay? But still, if I wanted to prove anything about swap prime, it must go through here. It must go through this space. Okay? And the thing which has an interpretation here is this, okay? So what I did, so I'm sort of cheating. I mean, the thing that I proved first, and this is in fact what happened first, the thing that I proved first was the complicated formula, was this formula. And then I realized that there are many, you know, if you look at it, there are repeating patterns in it. And I looked carefully, and the patterns appeared to be multiplicative patterns, and they are
different one for different columns, so it's a multiplicative factor per column, and then I figured out which multiplicative factor it is, and but somehow this is the base formula. Okay? Anyway, given that the way I've presented things was as if this was the base formula, if I want to find this formula, I have to start with a matrix, apply J, apply swap, apply K. So apply J, apply swap, apply K. So this is somehow the real swap formula that I want to prove. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, so again, what does the swap formula do overall, right? It will find, you know, let me add another prime here and another prime here, okay? Because I want to reserve the one prime thing for something else, okay? So really what I'm looking for, so okay, I get this messy collection of diagrams, and I want to rewrite it as basically send the heads to here. I want to rewrite it as something like that, where, you know, z's come with coefficients delta prime, z's come with coefficients gamma prime, z's come with coefficients beta prime, and this comes with coefficient L alpha prime. So I want to know which alpha prime, beta prime, gamma prime, delta prime, when mapped into this, will give the same thing as alpha, beta, gamma, delta gave here. Okay, and this is way too hard. Okay, and I mentioned why, because of the snakes and ladders things. Because of the snakes, not because of the ladders. The ladders are hard enough, but the snakes make it even worse. Okay, so I said, let me first factorize, and then do the swap. Okay, so that's what I do next. Okay, so I do, actually, the first thing that I do is I verify that if indeed it was factorized, things would be easier. I'm just verifying that what I'm that it would be easier to work with. Okay, so what does factorize mean? Suppose there was no gamma. So suppose I just had a thing with only alpha. I still need to swap it. Right? After factorization, the first thing to do is to swap something that has only alpha, and I can ignore the gamma. The gamma is always on the same side. It doesn't matter where it is. Okay? So the first thing I want to know is that swapping only alpha, so is that the swap map on a diagram in which gamma is absent would be easy. So I start from an alpha beta 0 delta, and I just check what the swap map is. Okay? So the swap map just does essentially nothing, except it adds to the wheels. That's exactly as expected, because you see, because diagram pointing left is a diagram pointing left right is a diagram pointing left plus a wheel. So swapping this should only generate wheels and doesn't change anything else. So that's what we get. And this is written in the funny prime basis. In the ordinary basis, so applying J, then swap, then K, you get, sorry, applying J, then swap, then K, you get this formula, which is even closer to what we expect, because you get here, you've multiplied omega by the exponential, exponential of alpha times a wheel. This is exactly what you expect, right? Because you had an exponential of arrow, flipping any one of them will give you a wheel, flipping an exponential will give you an exponential of wheels QED. Yeah.
So don't you then have to keep moving ahead past the beta tails?
No, because, you're right in principle, but luck plays on our side. Once you flip this, you'll get arrows going the other way. Arrows commute. So a single arrow commutes with, also with tails, by a computation. Okay? So basically you move the tails to the other side, and you're done. So you're in principle right, but luck plays on our side. That arrows are central.
We mean arrows on the same...
Arrows, short arrows are central. And an exponential of nested arrows is the same as an exponential of short arrows, because short arrows are central. You can take the innermost one and pull it out.
But if short arrows are central, so you're saying you could take one of those camelbacks and move it to the left of the beta arrow tails?
Yeah.
Suppose there's just one beta tail. So suppose that you're right, then you could do that at no cost, but then you could also move the tail of the hump back because it commutes with tails.
Yeah.
So you were saying that just moving the one head commutes with all the tails.
Except with its own.
Except with its own. Once it's pointing to the left, its head commutes with all the tails. So, but how does math know where the tail is? Like,
sorry, let me think for a second. So, I mean, we just have to work it out, okay? So, your claim, okay, the claim is that this is surprisingly equal to that. Why? I mean, what was your proof of it? Well, we could move the tail and then move the whole thing. And then you're saying, on the other hand, just swapping here wouldn't have worked. So let's test it. So let's take the difference and do the swap on the left. So, I mean, take the difference using STU on the left. So you'll get, and you're right, you get a non-zero contribution, and it is this one.
Which is zero.
Which is zero by anti-symmetry, which had to be proven, and in fact, I think the proof was essentially, something happens here. I mean, had this tail been far away, so then it wouldn't be zero. It's only because it's nearby that it's zero. Okay?
How did you get it into a series of humps? Like, sorry, how did you get the alpha to be just a sequence of humps as opposed to nested humps?
You pull the innermost one out because it's central. And then
you
pull the next
one. Oh, yeah. Okay, you can pull the other one.
So you see, it turns out, okay, so the snakes were the horrible thing, but it turns out that when the snakes are alone, they're actually easy. That's all that you get. Okay? Now let's see what happens if there are no snakes. Okay? So again, I'm just verifying that my strategy of factorization works, okay? So I'm testing what would happen had there been no snakes. So now I start with zero beta gamma, and I set delta to zero because it doesn't matter. I mean, if you want to put delta in, it will just reappear on, I mean, delta, so these just stay. Nothing will ever touch them. Okay, so computing it with or without the delta, it just doesn't matter. Okay, so now I want to apply the swap map to this. Okay, and well, apply it, you get this. And that's, well, it's much less hairy than that. And when you conjugate it by J, so when you do, you know, J swap K, you get this, and come on, I mean, this is the kind of things we see all the time, in the exponential of something minus one divided by something else, this is clearly something we're going to be able to manage. So the strategy has a chance, but we still have to find what are the coefficients. We still have to factorize. All I said is, if we had succeeded in factorizing, we will get formulas that we could possibly prove, which looks provable. In fact, this one we've already proven. Okay, I mean, the swapping snakes, we've already done. So, I mean, and this looks doable. Okay, but we still need to figure out how to factorize. So what does it mean to factorize? Okay, it really means that I introduce here an auxiliary head. So instead of having T1, H1, H2, sorry, and H1 was sort of a summary name for all of this, and T2, I should split H1 into H0 and H1, and I should find a formula, and I should find coefficients, alpha double prime, gamma double prime, delta, and beta, so that beta going from T1 to H, you know, so that beta will be going from T1 to H2, you know, so that they go in this way, and so that when I do a head multiply, I'll be getting the original alpha, beta, gamma, delta. Okay? So, that's my next little challenge. So, I start with a diagram. You know what? There's a certain amount of cheating that happened here. Okay, first of all, I told myself, let's ignore delta. just as before. For this purpose, delta is irrelevant. And in fact, probably so is beta. Okay, but for some reason I've ignored beta and I didn't ignore delta. Sorry, I've ignored delta, but I didn't ignore beta. Okay? But, so I actually already told you what the answer is. So I'm starting from a diagram B, and the diagram B has alpha going from 1 to 0. So alpha going from 1 to 0. So alpha is really alpha double prime. It has beta going from 1 to 2, but it's ignorable. It has, well, gamma double prime going from 2 to 1. So gamma double prime going from 2 to 1. And that's it. Okay? So, and then I've just verified that if I take this and head multiply 0 and 1 into 1, I indeed get what I wanted to get, which is alpha, beta, gamma, delta. Okay? So now I know what alpha double prime and gamma double prime are. Namely, alpha double prime is alpha as it was, and gamma double prime is gamma divided by this.
How did you know?
Now, how did I guess this? This is the usual, you know, you solve an equation. So in other words, I wrote here gamma double prime, run the same program, got an answer in which, and then I solved for what I should have started from. Okay? So the rest of the computation is a test of the factorization theory, again. And it's, in fact, the factorization theory has been tested, but I just sort of verified it again. So in other words, now I said, okay. So just for comparison, okay, take B and head multiply it, so you get this. And now apply the swap to it. So apply swap 1-1. So applying swap 1-1, you get the usual hairy formula, as expected. Right? But now I wanted to do the same thing by two swaps and then a head multiply. Instead of a head multiply and then a swap, I wanted to do it by two swaps and then a head multiply, to see that I get the same thing, okay? Now I know I would get the same thing because it's part of the axioms of a metagroup, but I still just wanted to see it, okay? So now I take B and I do head swap, and I do swap 1-0. So I first swap 1 and 0, okay? And this, as expected, okay, this is here. Yeah, this is here. As expected, it's easy. In other words, I started with gamma double prime, which in itself is messy, but the difference between this and what I started from is essentially nothing. It's only some wheels that got added. And the wheels come from the alpha. Okay? Then I swap again the 1-1. So now I swap. So now, after I've got that, I swap 1 and 1, so I swap here, okay? But swapping here, there is a 0 here. The 0 means no feedback. I mean, the issue with a swap was if you swap something, if the kind of the entry where you swap is non-zero. I mean, that's the snakes, okay? So again, the first swap was easy, and the second swap is a no feedback swap, and you get this answer. So this is a messy answer already, but it's messy only because the input was messy. The thing itself that happened here was not messy. So in other words, the thing that happened was this thing, was this operation, but in which the gamma was a bit messier, so it came out messier, but but it's still... So I guess what I'm saying is that the messy formula we got came from a few easier steps. And then finally, I need to head multiply, because I mean, I've swapped both things, but then I still need to merge this, and that adds to the messiness, and you get indeed the same formula that you got here, as expected. Okay? So now there are two theorems we need to prove. Three or two. I mean, we need to prove the head multiply theorem. We need to prove the swap a snake theorem, but we already did that. It was essentially trivial. And we need to prove the no feedback swap theorem. And that's it. So the head multiply theorem, we've essentially proven already. Oh, this is the end. So the head multiply theorem, we've essentially proven, right? This was the, and we've just computed what head multiply was by multiplying matrices last time with sum. So sum did it for me when I, okay? And it's just a matter of checking that it comes out to be the same formulas. Okay? So and it comes out to be the same formulas. I mean, if you look at the formulas that sum derived last time, well, and I derived a long time before, sorry, I'm not... they were precisely... where are they? Here. They were precisely these. Okay? So that's one thing. And we're left with the no feedback tail overhead swap. So let me take a picture and then sorry, I know this is horrible, but okay. I'll just keep it the same name as before. So, you know, maybe as I state the theorem, or as I state what we need to prove, you will see that it's not so hard, okay? So, I mean, what we need to prove is, I think it's this. Yeah, it's this one. Okay? But let me use the same schematics as before. So, we have... beta of z's and gamma of z's. So this is really a whole, this represents an exponential. Okay? We don't have alpha. Alpha is what would have screwed us up. And we do have delta, but delta will not play a role, so I may as well ignore it. There is also delta going this way, but I don't care about this, okay? And what I want is, I want to write this as beta prime going this way and gamma prime going that way. Oh, and sorry, there will be a price and delta prime. So, you know, I may as well take the delta here as well. And delta prime going that way. I mean, if delta is zero, I mean, delta will be created. Okay, so I want to find beta prime, gamma prime, delta prime so that this is equal to that. Okay? So, So, I mean, and the computer tells me that gamma prime should be gamma, beta prime should be e to the gamma c2 times beta, and delta prime should be delta minus this. Because, I mean, if delta, because here it's zero, but I mean, if it wasn't zero, I'll just copy it. So, I mean, so delta prime is essentially this. So this is what the computer says, or sorry, this is what the prediction, this is what I want to prove. But rather than, you know, but let me just calculate, and hopefully the calculation will give this answer. So, okay, but you see, it's actually easier than you think. It's easier than it seems. Because really what I need to do is I need to conjugate by an exponential. Okay? This is an exponential of heads. Right? I need to move it to the other side. It's just conjugating by an exponential. Now, conjugating is the same as I mean, conjugating by an exponential, so in other words, e to the negative e to the negative, what should I call this? I mean, I want letters, e to the negative p, e to the q, e to the p, well, e to the p, e to the q, e to the negative p, as we have seen many times, is e to the add p acting on q times, not times anything. Okay? So in other words, e to the p, e to the q is e to the add p times q. Oh, no, sorry. What am I doing? No, sorry. Okay. Sorry, this is the correct formula. Yeah. Okay. But, are you okay? What?
I was reading about it in here.
Which is here?
Humphreys,
okay.
It's the same, not yet.
Well, you know, I read Humphreys too. But no, this isn't. I may have read it in Humphreys, but I've forgotten it many times over. But anyway, but you see, okay. First of all, let me move one e to the p to the other side, so I get e to the p here. And second, if it's true for any q, it will be also true for e to the q. Okay? And furthermore, e to the add q, I mean, well, by Leibniz's rule or whatever, you'll get here e to the add q acting on add p, sorry, acting on q times e to the p. I guess what I'm saying, no, I should have done it. No, you know what? I should have written it differently. I should have done it at the previous stage. Okay, sorry. Let me write it this way. Let me try again. Okay. I want to compute e to the p, e to the q, e to the negative p. Okay? So, first of all, this is equal to e to the p, e to the q, e to the negative p. Right? Because conjugation conjugating an exponential is like conjugating the exponentiate, the power, the exponent. Right? This is that's the whole trick of diagonalization, right? You want to exponentiate a matrix, you first diagonalize it. You're okay? Again, I'm conjugating an exponential, and that's the same as conjugating the exponent. Okay? But this is equal to e to the e to the add p acting on q. Yeah. Actually, I have space here, so I may as well use it. E to the add p acting on q. Okay, this is the usual Humphreys formula. I don't know if it's Humphreys, but okay. And therefore, okay, so now let's multiply on the right from by e to the p, and you'll get e to the p, e to the q is equal to e to the add p acting on q. Oh, sorry, it's acting on q here. It's the exponent. Okay? Times e to the p. So now let's interpret this in this language. So in this language, I get, okay, so beta plays the role of p, and gamma plays the role of q. So I will get, well, delta just stays happily. Actually, it's sort of not connected. There is symmetrization. I mean, it sort of comes in this direction, but okay. Anyway, delta goes here. Beta will go here because the p moved to here. I still have the gamma going this way, but each coefficient of gamma is hit by an exponential of adjoints. But the adjoint is just adding a vertex along this trunk, okay? Okay? So this is what I get. I mean, and each one here comes with a coefficient beta. So now let me do another aside computation. So, well, you know, I know I'm in the beta quotient, so I know how to reduce a y. But what if I have many y's? Okay, so the aside computation is, suppose I have, you know, e to the beta of z's. What is this equal to? Okay? So remember the hairy Y statement. Oh, the hairy Y statement applies. Oh, you know what? Yeah, it needs reproving because we're in a different context. Okay, let me tell you what will happen. Okay? So, in fact, you know what? Let me just do it first with 4. Suppose you have... So, we know that... Or we're in the we're under we're under this relation where if you have a single vertex, you can replace it by a blob and no vertex. What if you have four vertices? Okay, so basically, you replace. So this will be equal to two things. One thing is where, so I'll use the relation on the bottom one. Okay, so I'll get either a blob and a thing with three, or, and I'm doing it up to signs, okay, or this will go to the bottom, and this will be blobbed, so I'll get a thing like this, okay? But this will be zero, because why? I don't know, it comes out to be zero because the wheels are invariant. Because I don't know what to say. I mean, because
remove the very top one, you'll get.
Oh, you think I should have done it the other way around?
If you just take the blob with the hair,
yeah,
and just resolve the very top arrow, you get the same thing twice, and one with a plus, one with a minus. You'll get one less hair.
I mean, this one way or another, this will drop. Okay, and then it will inductively drop. So you'll get the next term, you'll get two blobs and only two things. And then three blobs and one thing. And then it will stop. So you'll get, the next thing will be four blobs and an empty shaft. Would this be a reasonable name? Trunk? I don't know. You've shaved the thing, right? We've just shaved it, okay? But now you'll also have the last one coming down, three blobs, and another blob. And when it's a blob without a commutator feeding into it, it just stays. Okay? So what does this amount to? Okay, so now replace this 4 by n. Okay? I should have said, if n is equal to 0, there is an excess. So replace this 4 by n and it's the same thing. But if you replace, except if n is equal to 0. If you replace this n by 0, this term is non-existent. And you only, no, sorry, this term is non-existent and you only get this term. Yeah. Okay? So in other words, if you had here f, where f is any function, then this will, so f means linear a power series, okay? Then essentially you'll get f worth of blobs always minus a line going to here, and again f worth of blobs, sorry, f worth of blobs, but these are different blobs. Sorry, so because their tail go to different directions. So the coefficients that will come here will be f minus f of zero, because I want to kill the constant term, divided by, I guess the variable of f will be x, so divided by x, because I want to lower the number of terms by one, and I'll have another blob here going in the y direction. Okay? So now apply this here. Okay? So, this will become the difference of two things, and let's just write them. So, let's write it as a difference. So I guess, but everything now you have to tilt your head, because really the root is in this direction. Here I put the root at the bottom, but here is the root is in this direction. Okay? So I'll be getting, going to the root, okay, here is delta, beta is unchanged, and then now I'm dealing with the sort of gamma beta piece here. So going to the root is, I could either come from where I went at the beginning, right, with the coefficient as it was before. So no, not with a coefficient as it was before, with a coefficient e to the beta. So whatever it was before multiplied by e to the beta, because, right, I have an exponential of betas hitting this gamma. Or I could, so again, the delta goes as before, the beta goes as it used to, and the alternative is that, you know, the exception is if I go from where the hair came into the target, so from here into the target, so to here. With coefficients, so this is still delta, but the coefficients that will come here will be e to the beta, so the function, so e to the beta minus 1 divided by x, and so in this case I think it's beta, and multiplied by one exceptional wheel going in this direction, so this direction is C2. So C2, I think. No! Sorry, the exceptional wheel is in the direction from which the arrow came from. So this direction, sorry, C1. Now let's see if this is the formula we got. It isn't. Something, I messed up something. Right, because I got that, so gamma stayed unchanged, Yeah, there is a flip of gamma and beta. Ah. Sorry, what is going on here? Did I flip the meaning of gamma and beta? I don't know.
So
I mean,
is T2 the top left?
T2.
Because then it seems like the beta, the thing you're calling beta is gamma. But maybe I'm confused.
Yeah, T2 is the top left.
So going from T2 to H1, you call it gamma there, but beta there.
Ah, so I flipped gamma and beta. Okay. So then it's more or less right. Up to signs and up to... Well, it's this, at least the spirit is right. Okay? Yeah, I mean, okay, you know, to decide whether our goal was achieved, we first have to understand what the goal was, okay? So, we each came here with a different goal, right? Peter is an observer. I don't know what his goal was. For me, well, it's semi-achieved. I mean, the goal was to make the computation less scary, because it scared myself. Like, I mean, I kind of did it in many steps, and each time I forgot what the previous step was, and I just adjusted the formulas so that they would work, and it's now, in my mind, it's much reduced. I mean, I can imagine writing it one day. I don't know, maybe I will write it with Juji. I don't know if Juji can imagine writing it. Okay. So Eva hopefully will one day generalize it. No, it will be a hard task. Sorry, Eva. It will still be a hard task. I think some amount of kind of cleanup and explanation of the diagrammatic calculus must exist, must be put in. I don't know what to. So at the end, the swap computation is actually the easier computation. I mean, after you factorize and do the, this is sort of a. That's all that went into it, and whereas the head multiply computation, in some sense, I still don't understand. It was just you wrote two matrices and exponentiated and multiplied the exponentials, and there was no. let's stop. Bye, Karine.